In today's gospel, Christ prays for our unity in him. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me, and that you love them even as you loved me. Father, they are a gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I bet that most of you here today already have, or will by the day, time the day is over, have a conversation with someone, or be on the phone with someone, or whatever. And at the end of that conversation, you'll say to them, bye, bye. Now, what is that word, bye? That's not really a word, is it? Bye. We say it all the time, bye, see ya. But bye is not a word. It's a contraction of the word goodbye, right? But you ever think about that word goodbye? Goodbye itself, when you look at the origin of the word goodbye, goodbye itself is a contraction of the greeting that people back in the 15th, 16th, 1700s used to use when they took leave of each other. When people left, English-speaking people in those days took leave of each other, what they would say is, God be with you. God be with you. Goodbye. You can see how that's a contraction of that phrase, God be with you. Kind of beautiful thought, isn't it, that when you took leave of somebody, you would pray for them. You'd leave them with a prayer. God be with you. Even today, in many of the Romance languages, for example, in French, those of you who speak French, when you leave somebody, oftentimes what do you say? Adieu. What's adieu mean? To God. To God. With God. The Hispanic people, vaya con Dios. What's that mean? Go with God. Go with God. Or even a shorter form of that, adios. Adios. With God. So even though, you know, in English, in our normal use of the term goodbye, we've lost its religious significance, but it's interesting to think about that, that when people took leave of each other, they left each other with a prayer. Go, may God be with you. Goodbye. God be with you. I share that with you this morning because Jesus today in the gospel has his farewell conversation with his disciples. In the Gospel of St. John, these are the last words that he speaks at the Last Supper. And what they are, when you look at it, is a prayer. It's a prayer for his disciples, for you and for me. And in these final words, he prays for three things. He prays for unity with one another, that we have unity with one another, that we have unity with him, with God, and that someday we be united with him and with all those we love forever. Prays for those three things, that we have unity with one another, that we have unity with God, that we someday are all united with him forever. Look at those three things just for a minute. He prays that we might have unity with one another. There may be one Father. When he makes that prayer, he's praying for something that's essential for authentic and fruitful human life. He's praying that we might give each other the support and help we each need. You know, none of us is created to be the Lone Ranger. We're created to be together. What's God say in the book of Genesis at the very beginning after he creates Adam? It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll create a helpmate for him. None of us has all of the answers, all of the wisdom, all of the strength. We need each other. I bet if you look for a minute this morning at the most difficult time of your life, whatever that was, how did you get through? How did you make it? Most likely because other people helped you and supported you, gave you the courage you needed, the support you needed, the forgiveness you needed, the medical care you needed. You didn't do it by yourself. We need one another. Look at that terrible situation down in Texas, in Uvalde, with the terrible, senseless slaughter of those 21 people, 19 children. How are those people going to get through that? Not by themselves, but together. Mutual support, mutual help. And if we as a society were ever going to get to a point where those things don't happen anymore, how are we going to get there? Only if we come together as a society, listen to each other, and together try to find solutions to that kind of situation. We're not going to get beyond that by ourselves. We need each other. I'm reminded of a story told about this little girl, probably 8 or 9 years old, who one day was visiting a friend, and her mother expected her home at 4 o'clock. Well, 4 o'clock came, she didn't get home. 4:30 came, she wasn't home. Her mother was getting worried. 5 o'clock came, she wasn't home, so she called the other house and spoke to the other girl's mother, and the other girl's mother said, she just left, she's on her way home. So finally she gets home 10 or 15 minutes later. Her mother says, you know, you were supposed to be home at 4 o'clock, where were you? The little girl says, well, you know, Mary's dog is sick, and I had to stay with her because Mary's dog was sick. Her mother said, well, what could you do for Mary's dog? She said, I couldn't do anything for Mary's dog, but I could cry with Mary. You see the point, huh? She cried with the other little girl, shared her grief, shared her support. We all need to do that. God, there's nothing sadder than people withholding from each other the support we need, the love we need, out of bitterness, lack of forgiveness, prejudice, whatever it might be. Christ prays for unity with one another. Secondly, he prays that we might have unity with God, with him. You know, there are certain kinds of plants in the world that only grow in the shade. They grow under trees or under decks or under, they can't grow in direct sunlight. But these plants, if you look at them, their leaves are always turned toward the light. Wherever the greatest source of light is, their leaves turn toward the light. They can't grow directly in the sun, but they need the sun's light, and so their leaves turn toward the light. They're called heliotropic plants. Helios is the Greek word for the sun, plants that turn toward the sun. I'd like to suggest that you and I are theotropic beings. Theos is the Greek word for God. We're beings that turn automatically toward God, even though we don't realize that's what we're doing. We need God. St. Augustine said once, "O God, you have created us for yourself, and our hearts will always be restless until they rest in you." In our society today, there's such a tremendous amount of restlessness. People searching, looking, unhappy. Even when they're successful and they have all kinds of good things, there's something missing. What they don't realize is missing is God. A modern poet has said, "Our hearts have a God-shaped hole in them, and we will not be peaceful until God plugs the hole." Until we allow God to plug the hole. You know, there are philosophers say that there are, everybody has what they would call fundamental life questions. Every society, every person, questions like this: who am I and why am I here in this world? What am I supposed to be doing here? And where am I going? Those fundamental questions that underlie everything else about life. If we can't answer those questions, we will never find peace and joy. Our life will be just one constant running one direction or another, but we're never happy or satisfied. So much anxiety, so much restlessness, because people can't answer those questions. Why am I here? Because a loving God created me. What am I supposed to be doing while I'm here? Building up the kingdom of God. Where am I going to be with God and those I love forever? If we can't answer those questions for ourselves, life is never going to be full and joyful. So Christ prays for our unity with Him. And finally, He prays that the time will come when we will all be together with Him and those we love forever. Wonderful little story I heard recently about this young man who had just graduated from college, and he got his first job in a large corporation. He's talking one day with his uncle, and his uncle said, "Well, what are you going to do now?" He said, "Well, I'm going to work very hard and hopefully get promoted." His uncle said, "And then?" "Well, I'll hopefully make enough money so that I can get married and have a family and provide well for them." "And then?" "Well, I think I'll work my way up the ladder. Maybe someday I'll become a partner of the company." "And then?" "Well, I'll make my fortune, I'll retire, I'll live comfortably and hopefully enjoy life." "And then?" "Well, I suppose someday I'll die." "And then?" You see, where are we going? Where are we going? Christ prays today that we go to be with Him and the Father and those we love forever. So that's His prayer for us. That's His goodbye. God be with you to us. That we might have unity with one another. We might have unity with Him. And we might ultimately one day be with Him and those we love forever. That is the meaning of everything. Those three things are the meaning of everything. Let us today, as we gather here in prayer, ask for the grace to understand that our lives might be less anxious, less restless, and more filled with the peace of God. May God bless you.